أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. We're looking at Surah Al-Imran, and in particular we're focusing on section 1. And in the last talk we looked at the first three parts of this section, which was the author of divine guidance, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we looked at seven different attributes. We looked at the message itself, which was the Qur'an, and we saw three things about it. And then the two types of ayats or verses, those that were muhkamat, those that were clear, and the mutashabihat, those that were ambiguous. We also saw that the key essence of belief, the basis of belief, was kullun min anda rabbina. It is all from our Rabb. That all revelation, once we believe that all of it is from our Rabb, then life is much, much simpler. We will now start looking at the fourth part, which is the three categories of people. When exposed to divine guidance, they fall into these three categories. So the first category is termed as Ulul Albab. What we saw as the starting point in Surah Al-Baqarah is the Muttaqeen. I'd like to explain Ulul Albab first. If I were to describe them in three qualities, then there are those who have no emotional bias. They have total trust in Allah, and they have a knack of contemplation, understanding. Now, where does this lub or albab come from? Well, let's first look at aql. Aql, in essence, is to tie something down. In this case, to tie your emotions, to be able to think clearly. The antithesis, the opposite of aql, is jahl. Someone who has a lack of control of emotions and therefore no clarity of thought. Albab is a plural of lub. Lub is understanding or sound mind, clear of defects. And so we find that those who follow guidance are called ulul albab. And from this section I've listed 12 different qualities. So in Ayah 7, we see the first two, which we mentioned, and I will repeat them again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that يَقُولُونَ, they say, آمَنَّا بِهِ, we believe in it, we believe in the revelation, we trust it, number one. Number two, قُلٌ مِنْ عَنْدِ رَبِّنَا, it is all from our Rabb. Now let's look at their du'as, which is in Ayah 8. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابُ. Our Rabb, don't allow our hearts to deviate after you have guided us. So the third quality is that they want to keep their hearts safe. And then they say, وَحَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً. We want the gift of mercy from you. Hiba is a gift. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَحَّابُ, you are the generous bestower. Their du'as are a reflection of their intention to protect themselves and keep their hearts safe. They beseech their Rabb not to let them be misguided after they have seen the rahmah of guidance, for they recognize this guidance as a gift from Allah, knowing that if it's lost, it can never be replaced. Their sixth quality is an absolute certainty of accountability of the Day of Qiyamah. And we find that in the dua in Ayah 9. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ جَامِعُ النَّاسِ لِيَوْمٍ لَا رَيْبَ فِي. Our Rabb, surely you will gather humankind on a day of which there is no doubt. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِيعَادِ. Well, surely Allah does not fail to keep His promises of the appointed time. So they constantly remember that they will be gathered on the Day of Qiyamah. In other words, accountability is uppermost in their minds. We find their seventh quality in Ayah 16. الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ, this is what they say again, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا, our Rabb, definitely, surely we believe. Number one, فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا, so forgive us our faults, forgive us those sins which we are ashamed of. ذُنُوب is that which we are not proud of. وَكِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and save us from the punishment of the fire. And finally, their last four qualities are listed in Ayah 17. Allah says, الصابرين, they're the patient ones. والصادقين, they're the truthful ones. والقانتين, they are proactively obedient.
والمنفكين. Their lifestyle is a lifestyle of spending in his way, in giving and sharing. والمستغفرين بالأسحار. And they ask forgiveness before dawn. We looked at sabr in Surah Al-Baqarah, and just as a reminder, it is self-mastery. It's being able to persevere despite everything. Those who are truthful, sadiqeen, means those who are awakened to their original, naturally noble disposition. Our origin is truth. It is what we are programmed to seek. Another derivation of this is giving sadaqah, because that comes from the same thing. It is as though by giving charity, we confirm the truth that we own nothing. The proactively obedient, al-qanitin, are those who express their servitude to Allah. They manifest it practically. The munfiqeen we looked at in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 274, those who have made giving their lifestyle by night and day, secretly and openly. And finally, those who ask forgiveness before dawn. Ashar is the last part of the night before dawn, when all is really quiet and inner focusing is easy. The Quran in Bani Israel says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوقَ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى غَسَكِ اللَّيْلِ وَالْقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. Keep up salah from the declining of the sun till the darkness of the night. In the morning recitation, surely the morning recitation is witnessed. So the muttaqeen that we only had a couple of ayats on in Surah Al-Baqarah are now expounded upon here. These are their qualities. This is what we should aspire to become. The second category Allah describes as الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who cover up the truth, who defiantly reject the message. Now here, He gives the consequences of their actions. In Surah Al-Baqarah, He said about them, سَوَاعٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنْذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنْذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. It is the same to them, whether you warn them or you do not warn them, they will not believe. So in Ayah 4, He says, for them, لَهُمْ أَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, they will have a severe punishment. In Ayah 10 He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَنْ تُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ, their wealth and children will not be a refuge for them. In the same Ayah He says, وَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ وَقُودُ النَّارِ, they are fuel for the fire. The transgression and disbelief of a people who abuse physical power and wealth results in direct natural punishment. There is a cause and there is an effect. Their diligence was directed only towards their materialistic pursuits, even if it meant exploiting humankind. In Ayah 11, Allah gives the example of كَدَعْبِ عَلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, like the people of Fir'aun, وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, and those before them. He says, قَدَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, they rejected our signs. فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, and Allah destroyed them because of their wrong actions. وَاللَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ, and Allah is severe in requiting, in recompensing wrong action. And finally in Ayah 12, the fifth consequence, they'll be herded to Jahannam. He says, قُلْ, tell them, لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, to those who cover up the truth. سَتُغْلَبُونَ وَتُحْشَرُونَ إِلَى جَهَنَّمْ, you will be overcome and you will be herded to Jahannam. وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ, and it's a miserable place, it's an awful place of rest. It is continuous agitation. The agitation they caused in others will only reflect in themselves. And finally, the third group that we talked about in the last talk, I will repeat it again. This was in Ayah 7, where Allah says, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ, there is a distortion in their hearts. And these are the hypocrites that were mentioned in such detail in Surah Al-Baqarah. Here we'll have just one aspect about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ, for those in whose hearts there is distortion or perversion, فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَحَ مِنُّ, they will only follow those ayat that are ambiguous. Why? إِبْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ, because they're looking for corruption, they're looking for dissension, وَابْتِغَاءَ تَعْوِيلِ, and they're looking for a chance to put in their own two pennies worth. Rather than transform their lives, their practical lives with guidance, they want to distract themselves and others into vague concepts. So these are the disputers of guidance. Now we will look at the final part of this section. And this is where Allah talks about the inherent nature of the human being. So in Ayah 14 He says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّحَوَاتِ, it has been made fair-seeming, beautiful to human beings, the love of desires. Now the desires are listed. The first one, minan nisa, of women. In other words, intimate relationships. Number two, walbanin, sons. It could also mean children, sons and daughters. والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة literally means a water skin, brimming, filling of gold and silver. Today our wealth is measured by pieces of papers or electronic numbers. It's the same thing. والخيل المسومة, this was a well-bred horse, which was a measure of wealth at that time. Today we could look at it as cars, status cars. والأنعام والحرث, which is cattle and the pastures or the means of earning in it. Today we can look at it as our assets and the yield it provides. Now, having mentioned these five desires, he says, ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. مَتَاعُ is provision. So he's saying this is a provision for the life of the world. Desire and attraction are natural phenomena. We can't resist them. Everyone wants to increase wealth, for example. There is no wrong in wanting wealth. The danger is in the arrogance, the power, the exploitation of others that hoarding and accumulation brings. Imam Ali al-Islam says, the one who is righteous is not the one who owns nothing. Rather, he is the one who is not owned by anything. There is no merit in possessing nothing, but there is great merit in not being owned by anything. And he ends by saying, وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَعَابِ. With Allah is the most excellent abode, or the most excellent destination. And then in the next ayah, he says what it is. He says, قُلْ, in ayah 15, say to them, أَوْنَبِّيُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. Shall I tell you, shall I inform you of what is better than all this? He says, لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For those who have taqwa with their Rabb. Now, a reminder of the word taqwa. It means to protect oneself with fear and caution so as to avoid being led astray. Those who protect themselves from anything that will stop them from reaching their full potential. They're cautious about every situation in order to prevent an undesirable outcome. And because of their sincerity, they're forgiven if they inadvertently participate in anything that is unfortunate. They are in awe of the universal power. Now he says, for them, they are jannatun tajri min tahti al-anhar. They're gardens, they're multiple gardens, which are fed by underground rivers. Khalidina fiha, they live in them forever. Next one, wazwajum mutahharatun, pure mates, implies there is no duality in the garden. In this world, man seeks woman, poor seek wealth, ill seek health. In the next life, all seeking is finished. There is no longer any conflict of the two. There is ultimate equilibrium. And then he says the most important part, وَرِضْوَانُ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, the pleasure of Allah. See, love of the world only ends in disaster. Disappointments in life caution us against investing in that which is transient. And here we're told the things of the world are a provision, not to be renounced, but to be used along the journey. As a human being grows in iman, his worldly wisdom and sense of discrimination also grows. He becomes more diligent with his use of time and the tools he's been given to work with. The increased sensitivity produces a greater effectiveness, a greater intelligence in what to invest in. So in a nutshell, the message that comes really loudly and clearly in this section is the basis of belief is that all revelation is from Allah. Believe in it. Go through the qualities of the Ulul Albab and let's try and tick them and see whether we can imbibe them into our lives. Inshallah, more next time.